I would like to extend a greeting in Jesus' name. Already encouraged to be here. God's word never fails. The inspiration of singing does us well in the beginning of a service, draws our minds in a direction that causes us to worship. And I trust as we're here tonight, we desire that worship can again be a part of our experience. Like Brother Leon mentioned, building blocks for, I took it the other day when we were talking for a happy marriage, but it's basically under the same umbrella. He also reminded me that you had a message of that nature here this morning, so maybe you have a need. I do. I have a need myself, and it's dear to my heart, and I trust it's to yours too, as you consider a happy home or a happy marriage. You know, it's not something that just happens. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of work, so that it can be a happy marriage. And there's different aspects to this. We could also consider a young man and a young lady. Maybe have interest to enter into a friendship for the purpose for courtship, to establish values as a good foundation for a happy marriage. Or we could also consider for those of us who have experienced and are experiencing a happy marriage or a marriage. Sometimes we're under attack, we're under pressure, there's things come up that we need to face and know how to properly deal with them so that we can remain on that solid foundation. And that's probably primarily where we'll go with this, is to continue to encourage the bonds of a marriage relationship, and also for maybe youth and for those that consider taking that step in life, it's for you too. The landscape in our communities give evidence of many houses or homes. In many of those houses or dwellings, we don't know what everyday life is like. Is there a happy marriage? Is there loving relationships? Are children happy and content? There's many, many dwellings that are in our communities. Yes, there might be some that we know the people, and we really might feel well about what you see and what you know about them, that seems like they have a good home, a solid home, and good marriage. But there's many that we don't know. Where do we fit in? We live in a society where God's plan for happy marriages is largely disregarded. And that's sad to even say that. But it's reality. Marriages without God, and where the love of God is not present, there will be disappointments, heartaches, and emptiness. And I don't need to go there. You know that. Because we witness many of those testimonies. There's evidence of that in our communities. I'm not necessarily saying about our church communities. I'm talking about the communities of our neighborhood, the people around us. But it does also become important that we bring this home. We bring this right into our own experience. Because when God established something good and something solid, there's an enemy that is in the intent to destroy it. And he's gaining far too much ground. But dearly beloved, dear friends, tonight, we have something that we can build our life on. We can build our homes on that we don't need to have that testimony of disaster. And looking at some foundational principles, and we might ask the question, what constitutes a happy marriage? First of all, it needs to be established upon a solid foundation. What is that? It's upon the institution and design God established at creation. And I invite you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. God instituted the beauty of marriage. Begin reading in verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. For out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took up one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." There's a number of concepts that portray a foundation. And that is that God created man and woman. We are a part of God's creation. And God's design is meant for the good of humanity. It's for our good. And then when God brings a man and a woman together, there's a leaving and a cleaving. There's a oneness. And so we're completely exposed. It says here that man and wife were naked. Another aspect of that is there's nothing hid from God. You and I can have a relationship. We can have a blessed marriage relationship. And God sees right into the very core of that relationship. And he knows what's happening. He knows what's going on. Nothing is hid from God. So there's a foundation that was established at creation for the good of humanity. And that does not mean that it's for everyone to get married. But it is for the good of those that take that step in life. We have in Psalm 127, verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." So it's a principle that unless the Lord is in it, unless the Lord is building that house, it will not stand. So God has a blueprint. God has a design. And then we have Jesus as the chief cornerstone. In Psalm 118, beginning in verse 21, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So it's this cornerstone is part of this foundation for a godly home, for a godly marriage, for a happy marriage. As Jesus being a part of that framework. We have in 1 Peter, where it speaks of as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Here we are. It's all laid out in this book, the Bible. And we have a foundation that we can build on. And it's secure and it's solid. We'd like to move over to Ephesians chapter 5 and read a portion, a very familiar portion as it relates to a happy marriage. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A beautiful passage of scripture. And the guidelines, the perimeters that are established in this text are for the good of a happy marriage, of a happy home structure. And looking at building blocks, perhaps there are some here that are familiar with building. You know what it's like to lay block or to have a pivot point or a focal point that you measure from. And then you establish a cornerstone or corner wall and how important that is for the rest of the building. And so the foundation stone is of great importance. And that's why we need Jesus Christ as that foundation, so that Whatever we build on top of that is from the right source. And we're not saying tonight that just because someone does not build on that foundation, that God doesn't recognize that marriage, because I believe he does. But we're encouraging here tonight, we're establishing some values from a born-again, from Christian perspective, and how that we can build on the right foundation and have happy and secure marriages. In Proverbs 24, verse 3, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So it takes some insight. It takes some direction. It takes some counsel. We're not in this plan alone. We need Christ as part of this experience. It's a threefold cord, and so we need Christ as Lord of our life, Lord of my life, Lord of the sister's life, so that this can be a blessed and a joint effort. To experience a happy marriage takes time and effort. A husband is a house man. A husband, every effort should be to enhance the beauty and serenity of a marriage union. You know, there's a lot that rests on this side of the house, the husbands, in order to make this thing flow, in order to have it designed and structured under the direction of God. Yes, the ladies have a very vital part as well. We're not going to exempt that. And we'll touch on some of these building blocks as areas that it involves both. First building block that we'd like to consider here is that of love. Now remember, we've already got the established corner in place, as Jesus Christ being that cornerstone. He's the foundation stone. That's what we're building upon him. And we could talk about courtship and subjects of this nature I love when I look at my own experience and the blessed courtship that we had and some of the instructions that we allowed to be a part of our life and to establish some values that enhance the beauty of a marriage relationship. And there's something that needs to continue so that can be beautiful. Husbands, number one, the building block. Husbands, love your wives. Love is one of the primary ingredients in establishing a home, establishing a marriage relationship. It's a sacrificial love. It's an unselfish love. The Greek definition for agape love, it is a love that is not an impulse from feelings or natural inclinations. Agape love seeks the welfare of others, works no ill to anyone, seeks opportunity to do good to all men, especially toward them who are of the household of faith. And when we talk about bringing that right close, right into the experience of a man and woman relationship, that agape love, it's not a love that is driven by feelings. It's a love that is driven from a heart that I choose to love regardless. After all, what drew you to your partner when you were in the courtship experience? What really was the main thing that established, that caused you to desire a friendship and that would lead to marriage? What was the main thing? Was it a godly character? Was it good looks? Or, I mean, all those things can be mean, good looks and just nice ways can have all their values, and they're a good part of that experience. But there's something that we need to consider. There needs to be some solid and some areas of purpose that we need to consider, so that that love relationship can be real. The oil of love is needed when marriage relationships are tested. And granted, they will be tested. I can testify of that. They will be tested. If there's anyone here tonight that's not the case, I'd like to know it. The enemy of our souls, through our carnal nature, will be sure to inject misunderstandings and disagreements even into a happy marriage. True love will make reconciliation possible and enhance the beauty of a happy marriage. You know, there's always a way to get ahead. There's always a way that we can deal with misunderstandings, disagreements, frustrations. We can get through that if we have the love of God. Husbands, you're the primary point of filling your role and how you respond and how you relate to your companion. We're commanded to love our wives. And it should be a love, a sincere love that comes from the heart. It should be a part of it because of the love of God, what the love of God has done for us, what the love of God is doing for us day after day, and that has an influence upon our wives. Building block number two, a new birth and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know how important that it is that there's a change of heart, there's a life in Christ, there's an experience of the Spirit of God working in our lives, and that we can allow the Spirit to just continue to do its work. And it's not a one-time experience and then it's over. No, we daily need to seek God. In Ephesians 5, here in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. We need to continually draw from that resource that we can be spiritually pure and clean. And that's experience of having new life in Christ, like there in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus. And Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So this is very foundational in the life of a godly home and a godly experience to know what it is to have a changed heart and have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know another thing that the Holy Spirit does? The work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts will help smooth the rough edges in our life and character. You know, sometimes we have some rough edges, especially as husbands. You know, we discover sometimes that we can be a little rough, we can be a little coarse in some of our ways of doing things, and maybe it affects our wives. Now, I think we need to be sensitive to the work of the Spirit in our hearts from times when God might be trying to help us to smooth out some of those rough edges and to enhance the beauty of our character. Our wives are very sensitive to that. And I think we need to be aware of that, brethren, so that they can, they'll see through us. You know, it seems like the older we get, the more they can see right through us. And maybe it's that way for us to our wives too, but our wives do a lot of good when it comes to helping our our character and smoothing out some of our rough edges. After all, the influence of our wife has a lot to do with being known at the gates, being known to those around us, and how they respond to us has carried such a weight and such blessings. But really, it's a lot what happens in our lives. Number three is out of prayer. You know, what would a married life be like? A happy married experience without prayer. Pray for your spouse. And I'm talking about both sides of the house. Pray for your spouse in your private personal prayer. That should be something that is on our minds as we come to God and we pray to God. You know, sometimes we have such a long, long list of prayers, things that we have on our mind that we need to pray for. But we need to pray for our spouse. We need to consider maybe some of the things they're facing. Sometimes our wives know what we're facing. Maybe the pressures of responsibilities of church life and church work, and they have reason to pray for us. And sometimes our wives are under a load. And we know it, we need to pray for them. Pray for each other. Pray together as husband and wife. Our prayers together. And that our prayers are not hindered, but that we find time to pray together. It's important that we do that. We shouldn't just go on in life and think, I'll live mine and she'll live hers. Spend time together, pray together. But prayer and Bible reading provide a platform for the spiritual atmosphere of a marriage relationship. Yes, I believe that. How important it is to understand each other in the part of prayer. And I like to hear my wife pray. I think it's good to give opportunity to our wives to pray as well in our private time. It can be a real source of seeing into their heart, seeing how they pray. They know us well how we pray. And I'm amazed and many times, and I've been impressed. You know, that sometimes the way that us husbands pray at home and pray at our family devotions and just the overall everyday things that go through our mind and how we pray and how earnest we pray. You know, sometimes our wives kind of pray the same way. And I've discovered that even as our children get older, they kind of pray the same way. We play a great impact into the lives of those that are watching, those that are observing. And as they grow up, what's important to us? What we pray for? How we pray for? Prayer, the Christian's vital breath, and how important it is in a happy marriage relationship. Number four is thankfulness. You know, expression of thanks and having a thankful attitude has such an impact of blessing in the life of, on a friendship level. But when it comes to a happy marriage relationship, being of a thankful attitude sometimes just has a way to diminish all the frustrations and the disappointments and things that we face, because there's a spirit there that we just love. And there's so many things that can just kind of flow away, disappear because of the attitude that we have. Yes, thank your wife for the many things she does, her meals and washing the clothes and taking care of so many details that sometimes we have no idea what all the time they put into it. Sometimes we can help them too. Why not help them sometimes? You know, I even find it interesting sometimes to help my wife. Maybe while hanging up clothes out in the wash line. There's so many different things, little things, that if we have that attitude of thankfulness, we kind of find it easy to do things for our companion. I don't want to be too hard on this side of the house, but you know, we're responsible. There's a lot of things we're responsible for, brethren. And yet I think our wives, they'll come alongside of us, and they'll find their place in a very happy and a joyous way. Because the next point, number 5, is that of submission. And we know that in this portion of Scripture here in Ephesians 5, it talks about the wife submitting yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And we have the authority structure here, the wife being the head of the husband is the head of the wife, and that the wife finds her place under that authority. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. There's one thing that we as men, we need to understand, and that is, husbands are called to understand the submission principle. You know, unless we find our place in submission under the lordship of Jesus Christ in our personal life, how can we expect our wives to find their joyful place of submission under us, even though they're called to that? But I think we as men, we need to understand that principle of our relationship with Christ. And after all, there's something here in Ephesians 5. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And I don't know if I can really get a hold of the depth of the love that Christ had for the church. And there's something here that gives us a picture of the extent of the love that we need to have for our wives. That's going to make it possible. It's going to make it easy for them to submit. It's a beautiful experience, or it's a beautiful expression, the way that Paul has laid this out. In Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. And we have in here Ephesians 5 and verse 33, where it says that the wife see that she reverence her husband. And that means a deep sense of respect and awe. And I know there's many wives here that just really feel that way tonight. They have a deep respect and love for their husbands. But what about when your husband doesn't reach your expectation or lacks, maybe in some areas in life or maybe in some manners and just the way he does things and handles things. But yet the wife is called to honor. He's called to respect. And that's where we as husbands need to be sensitive to where we are and how we are sensitive to our understanding and how we fill our God-given place. After all, I think it's the wife has many opportunities to commend him for the qualities he has. Yes, look at the good. After all, before you were married and you saw some of those qualities, some of the things that drew you together, sometimes we need to go back there and just simply evaluate some of that and maybe commend on the things that you saw then. And hopefully you see a lot more now that you can commend your companion on. And you can just build up that relationship. Number 6, commitment. You know, it's a lifelong commitment. When we come to the marriage altar, when those vows We say, yes, I will, or I do. It's a commitment, and it's a commitment for life. And we look at that as something that is binding. It's a vow that we made before God and man, and there's nothing that's going to... And so we made a decision to love before we made that commitment. And we might as well love our choice. We might as well make it work. We might as well put our effort into it, make it work. And we can. It's possible. It's not just a 50-50 deal. It's a 100-to-100 deal. It's 100%. We give our all. We give everything that is meant to be given. It's a leaving and cleaving. It's an exclusive relationship. That's one of the beauties of a marriage relationship. It's exclusive. It's only you and your companion. But we have an enemy that is trying to bring wedges, and he's trying to destroy that experience. We need a single eye. It's important that we put our focus where it needs to be, and that we don't allow those around us and the world, the undress in the world, or others to divert our single eye. We're concerned about the spirituality of the commitment that we made, that we grow spiritually, and that there's a connection, that our lives can blend together on a spiritual level, and how important it is in being able to interact with a local church body of like-minded believers. And there's a part of understanding each other emotionally. And sometimes there's limitations on emotional levels, and we need to be able to care. We need to try to sometimes lift up the hands that hang down. And sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes it feels like our hands are hanging down, and sometimes our companion can come alongside and they can just lift us up. It can work either way. It can be such a blessed experience. And after all, when someone is courting, and there's a relationship that is being established, primarily there should be a spiritual aspect of that relationship that should be in place. And then there's a closer, and as they grow in that, it kind of moves into the emotional part of that relationship, but not completely. And you learn to, you laugh together, maybe sometimes you cry together, and then there's some deep feelings that there's still reserve in, that you don't go and let your emotions carry you. But there's some emotional things that kind of come into focus as you learn to know each other better. But then when marriage and that marriage relationship is established, when there's a physical relationship that you have in that commitment that you made, it's exclusive. And you put this whole package together of the spiritual, the emotional, and the physical, and that thing can be so unique, and it can be so fulfilling because of what? Because we're on the solid foundation. Our marriage is on something solid. And we can build our life, build our home on that foundation. And these areas of life will have a way to be special, and they'll just carry us through. Number 7, forgiveness. Be quick to forgive. Oh, be quick to say, I'm sorry. You know, we're living in the flesh. We're living in with this battle sometimes we just get a little overcharged, and we just get maybe sometimes out of control, and maybe we let words slip, or we do something that, oh, we just wish we wouldn't have, we regret it. Then what? What do you do? You just bottle it up? Face it. Say, I'm sorry. Confess it. You can just, it's amazing how you can just bring healing in such a short time. But we need to be conscious of that. True forgiveness is more than just words. Sometimes it'll prove itself in actions. It has a way to do that. It'll just come out. And we can tell, and it can often be discerned and often be detected when you really mean it. You don't have to say many words, but the partner will know that you mean what you said. Forgiveness is a very vital link and a very important building block in this experience. Number 8, patience and kindness. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You know, in every marriage relationship, situations will come where love is tested and where patience is at times stretched, and maybe even sometimes our respect level can be under test. Being patient, having that heart of just understanding. Sometimes I know I can be that way too. And we just are willing to bear and forbear. And to give the benefit of the doubt. But kindness, do kind things, kind deeds. Be a model. And sometimes those kindnesses are not only to each other, but that they can be to our family, our children, or can reach out to others in the community and maybe others in our church family where we can reach out to. Be an example of being of a kind heart. Number 9, communication and trust. Communication becomes a very vital link in our relationship. I know some of these are probably somewhat tied together, but you know, we should have time for heart-to-heart talks. We need to have time to listen. I trust tonight that we're not so overcharged and under pressure with the cares of life that we just hardly have time for each other, but that we have time to listen to each other and to just hear those heart cries. Guard against suspicions and distrust. And I think it's good for us to tell our wives when we're going to town or going somewhere, or at least that they're aware of somewhat what our daily schedule might consist of, and that they can trust us, and that we just keep each other informed about things in life, what's going on. I think that's valuable. But there's also a side, I know there's sometimes we need to trust each other. And that has its place, and I believe in many of our experiences, we can do things, we can go places on a short notice, and we don't maybe always tell our wives, and our wives trust us. But we need to keep that bond of a happy marriage. If we keep that in focus, we're going to desire to keep each other informed. Money matters. Money matters, I think, are very important in a marriage, a happy marriage relationship as well. And that we can, I know in some homes, the wives hardly know a thing what's going on in money matters. And maybe that has its place. I'm not going to say exactly how it should be, but It is good if the other companion knows some of the details on money matters and how you spend your money and how that we can trust each other in spending money and how we spend money. And to be able to just be okay with how we can help each other. And my wife has helped me many a time in taking more time before making an investment. And sometimes us men we're just so prone to be proactive, and we need it now, and we want it now, and we want it today. And the next thing you sleep over, it looks different by the next morning. Our wives help us in that. I've discovered that. Take some time, think about it. And it's good for us to not be on an impulse trail, but rather to consider our areas of life where it can affect the relationship, how we deal with that and how we relate to that. Yes, our wives help us in a lot of those areas. Close bonds in a happy marriage helps to understand our strong and weak points. And you know, it almost comes to the place that we can almost read each other's minds. We can almost tell by the expression of one or the other, we know what they're thinking. You know, sometimes incidents happen with family, with children. Maybe it can become amusing and funny, and we can look at each other, and we just know what the other is thinking. That's part of being able to just learn to know each other beyond, well, I don't know, but it's part of the blessedness of a happy marriage, how well we learn to know each other. We can just trust each other, and we can understand. Number 10, which is the last one, is that of faithfulness. This principle is laid out throughout Scripture, and the Scriptures we read here tonight. Building or maintaining a happy marriage, union, causes us to depend on God. And it's our desire that we want to be faithful to the end of the journey. Our faithfulness impacts the lives of those around us, those of our family. And it affects the church. You know, our faithfulness carries so much potential. There in Ephesians 5, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, that thing of holiness and that thing of sincerity and being able to have a life of integrity, a life of faithfulness. You know, life goes on. You know, there's a time when we made our wedding vows that we're subject to those vows until death doth part. That's reality. And a lot of us have experienced that in family, close family, or friends, where there was a death of a loved one or death of a companion. And we won't get away from that. It's going to be a part of life as long as we are here in this earth. We don't know when our time is. And our hearts go out to those that experience that. And you know, when there's a love there that has been in the experience of marriage relationship, and it almost seems like that love tears. It hurts. There's grief. And that all goes with it because of the connection that a husband and a wife had. And it's said that love and grief grow on the same stalk. And grief is a passage. It's a way to go through. And then the process of time, that grief is turned into comfort. And I'm amazed at how many scriptures we have that point us to comfort. And comfort that God wants to give in whatever we face in life. And even to the point where it says that when about Jesus coming again and how he's going to come there in 1 Thessalonians, is it in chapter 4? That someday we'll expect to see Jesus. And I don't know if I'll be alive when that happens or not. Sometimes I wish I would be. When Jesus is coming and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with those in the clouds. And he says there, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And the words of comfort that we get from the Word of God and how it reaches into our life today and the comfort that God wants to give us when we're under pressure or when we're under stress or maybe a death of a loved one, the comfort that God wants to bestow. And God will carry us through until the end of our journey. I had a brother that his wife passed away a couple months ago. When we met him, or talked with him, visited him since, there was something that stood out to me. It's not about going and just discovering how it's going, but to just give him time to share his grief. And you know what? It was a comfort to him to talk about his departed wife. The legacy that we leave is going to impact someone. And that's my desire. As I consider my own life and the comfort that God wants to bring into our experience, and he daily loadeth us with benefits, and he wants to comfort us in all our tribulations. He wants to comfort us today. Maybe you're experiencing something. Maybe you're experiencing something difficult. And you don't know how to relate to it or just what the next step should be. His arms aren't that short that he cannot reach us. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear us. But he's there to comfort us. And that's what my encouragement tonight, as we consider the blessedness of a happy marriage and going on in life, and that we can press on, because there's joy awaiting, there's a crown awaiting. And let's be of those that are not weary, that don't get weary in well doing. The promise is that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's kneel in prayer. Thank you.